Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Jeremiah. We'll pick up where we left off last week, of course. We'll be in Jeremiah chapters 8 through 10, hopefully. And we'll keep marching our way through this beautiful prophet, Jeremiah. He's a man with a heavy heart. He's got a heavy heart for his people. You know, I don't know about you, but I get a heavy heart for our country. This is a great country we live in, the United States of America. We have done great things throughout the world. We're not a perfect country by any means, but yet God has used us tremendously throughout the world in a whole variety of ways of defending the defenseless and as well as defeating wickedness and evilness in this world, as well as sending out food and clothing and helping with shelter and helping other fledgling governments and so forth to get them on their feet and going. We've done a lot of great works, building schools, building hospitals across the world. And no matter who they are, we try to help all people, it seems. And we have a great nation, but we have to return to God. We have to maintain God, or we're going to lose the nation. And this is where Jeremiah's at with the children of Israel in what's called Judah. The northern kingdom is destroyed by the Assyrians. Now it's the southern kingdom, Judah and Benjamin. It's called Judah. And he's trying to warn them, and he's trying to get them to repent. God knows they're not going to repent. God is telling them judgment is coming. But they still won't repent. It's like we can tell people all about the Great Tribulation period. You spell it out. It's all in the book of Revelation, Revelation 6 through 19. And you lay it all down and look at what's happening in our world. You talk about the book of Ezekiel and the nations surrounding Israel, how there's going to be a great war over there in Israel. We see Russia right now in Syria, aligned with Iran, just as the Bible says, Persia. And it's all of Gog and Magog aligned with Persia. And they're all lined up with all these Islamic countries, just as the Bible says. And yet people won't listen to us. And you talk to them about the book of Revelation, the coming Antichrist, the one world government, the economic system where nobody can buy or sell unless they have the mark of the beast. And now we can shut down all monetary transactions, really in a flip of a switch, if they just shut down the internet. It's all gone, and so forth. Nobody can go to the ATMs. Nobody can transfer funds. It's all going to be handled under one central government of the world. And the day is coming. Everything is lined up. Now, for us as believers, we have great hope in Jesus Christ. We follow the word of God. We know that the Lord says he'll take care of us, he'll watch over us, and we're looking forward to the rapture of the church. And all God's people said, amen, amen. The rapture will take place before the great tribulation period. But here we find ourselves in chapter 8 with Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 8, my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. My people do not know the judgment of the Lord. You know, it's so interesting when you talk about judgment, people want to put it aside. Well, oh, that's not going to happen. What happened to me? No, it's coming. It's coming, but the people won't listen. Let's begin our reading. At that time, says the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of kings of Judah and the bones of its princes and the bones of the priests and the bones of the prophets and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves and make no bones about it. No, I'm just kidding. We find, he says, look, man, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be a great slaughter. And they're going to desecrate all the memorials as the Babylonians come to conquer us. They're coming from the north. They're coming. There's going to be great, great, great destruction. Now, we always know that if the people of God will repent of their sins, God will then forgive them and fight for them. But the problem is they just won't repent of their sins. They won't listen to the Lord. Verse 2, they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven, which they have loved, which they have served, after which they have walked, which they have sought, and which they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor buried. They shall be like refuse on the face of the earth. Then death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of those who remain of this evil family, who remain in all the places where I have driven them, says the Lord of hosts. The Bible says that they will love They will want death, then death shall be chosen rather than life. It's always amazing to me how many things we see about death, from skulls and all these different t-shirts and things that people wear, and they're always talking about death. We've got death throughout our society. It shows us how people are so disenchanted with life itself. and their hearts have become hardened, and they just like, you know, they're going to just live a hard life and so on. And you know what? God is a God of love. He's a God of life, and he wants to take that which is dead and bring it to life. The Bible says that we are dead in trespasses and sins, and you must be born again. The moment you're born again, you become spiritually alive, whereas before you were spiritually dead before God. And all of a sudden, he gives you a new outlook on life, understanding who God is and how much he loves you, what he wants to do in and through your life, and how the Holy Spirit begins to produce the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the kindness, the patience, the faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, righteousness, goodness, and truth. God leads you into all truth, and all of a sudden, the things that you thought were true, you discover they're not true. It's actually been a big, fat lie. And all of a sudden, you find the truth about God, about his creation, about the universe, about who you are and how he made you, how he loves you, how he's designed you, how you can be happy and blessed in God. And it all begins to unfold as you give your heart to Jesus Christ. It's a magnificent, miraculous event and continuous event that takes place within our lives. We find in verse 3, death shall be chosen rather than life by the residue of those who remain of this evil family, who remain in all the places where I have driven them, says the Lord of hosts. Moreover, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why has this people slidden back? Jerusalem in a perpetual backsliding. This is the great capital of Israel, the city of the great king, Jerusalem. Jerusalem should be a place of great worship of God, a gathering of God's people, a place where they rejoice and praise the Lord. But instead, it's become a place of idols, worshiping idolatry, foreign religious systems. See, always remember this. Remember this. This is how the fall comes. It's gradual. Pretty soon, they start compromising their lives with God. They stop looking to the Word of God. They start embracing all the religions of the world, and then they embrace their idols and their religious systems, and of course, the immoralities of our day. So we can go from whether it be Islam to Hinduism to New Age to Eastern mysticism and so forth, and we see how it has all infiltrated the United States of America, whereas at one time we were a Judeo-Christian nation. Oh yeah, all roads lead to heaven or to God. No, they don't. Only one person leads to God. His name is Jesus. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the only one. So we find here Jerusalem is in perpetual backsliding. I think we'd say that about Washington, D.C., yeah? it's drain the swamp. Amen. Let's go. They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I listened and heard, but they do not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course as the horse rushes into the battle. No one wanted to repent of their wickedness. Now, if you're practicing wickedness, repent of it, my friend. Get right with God. Quit cheating yourself. Quit cheating yourself. Get right with God. Turn to God. Ask for God's forgiveness. Confess your sin to him. He will forgive you. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar and the truth is not in us. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who died not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, and chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Jesus died for us. He wants to wash us. He wants to cleanse us. But we have to come to that place of confessing our sins, not to a priest, not to me, but to God, to God. You confess your sin to God in the name of Jesus Christ. You will be forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ washes away, I love that, all unrighteousness, all of it. When we talk about confession of sin, name the sins. Name the sins to God. Okay, not just, oh, Lord, forgive my sins. No. Lord, I repent of this sin and this sin and this sin. And he says, I will wash away your sins. This is the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercies of God. And he says, verse 7, even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. Isn't it amazing there's so many people in our world today that don't realize the judgment of God is coming upon planet Earth? They don't believe it. They don't believe the Bible. They don't believe the Word of God. I've been hearing that forever, they'll say. Well, it just means we're that much closer. It's coming. It's coming. Everything is lining itself up. Jesus said it will be like Sodom and Gomorrah. He said it will be like the days of Noah. Those are the, if you will, the immoral signs. Jesus talks about famines and earthquakes and pestilences and kingdom against kingdom and nation against nation. He talks about that the hearts of many will wax cold. He says that there will be false Christs and false prophets and false teachers in the last days. It is with us fully and completely today as we look at our world, religious deception, global disasters and catastrophes, as well as the warring factions amongst our world. When they say peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them like a thief in the night. It says here in verse 8, he says, how can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected. This is really what you need to highlight. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? Therefore, I will give their wives to others and their fields to those who will inherit them, because from the least even to the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness, from the prophet even to the priest. Everyone deals falsely. The Bible says there in verse 9, it says, behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. Now, I want you to turn with me quickly. Once again, I keep repeating myself because I want to make sure we get the point. Go with me to the book of Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Seven churches of the book of Revelation found in chapters 2 and 3. Chapters 4 and 5, the church has been raptured and is in heaven. Chapter 6 through 19 is the tribulation period. Chapter 20 and 21, we have the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, a thousand-year reign, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 22, we're, of course, with 21, we're heading off to the new heavens, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. So this is a simple layout of the book of Revelation. We find in chapter 3, the church of Philadelphia, verse 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy. Remember, Philadelphia means brotherly love. This is a church that receives great commendations, not condemnation, but commendation. She says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David. He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Now look at this for a moment. He who is holy, Jesus is the holy Son of God. He's not just one of many religious leaders. He is the holy, holy Son of God. He lived without sin. He was sinless. You study the life of Muhammad, oh my gosh. Murderer, basically a child molester. I mean, you read about his life, thief, enslaved people, and that's the leader of your religion? Give me Jesus, amen? Give me Jesus, the holy Son of God who came and did nothing but help and love people. That's the key. Also, we know he rose from the grave. He's holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David. He's going to deal with the children of Israel once again in the last days, which we find in the book of Revelation. You find in Revelation 7, there's 144,000 Jews from the 12 tribes of Israel, 12,000 for each tribe that are anointed and sealed by God to be preachers of the gospel message in the tribulation period for the Jewish people as well as for the world. And many people will get saved in the tribulation period, but many will also be deceived. So he says, look, I have the key of David. Key is used for opening something. He's going to open up the kingdom of heaven to the Jewish people. The blindness will be removed from their eyes. The scales, if you will be removed. And they will recognize that they crucified the Savior, their Messiah, the Christ. They'll recognize it. And all of a sudden, there'll be a wave of salvation for the Jewish people, as Paul writes about in Romans chapter 9, chapter 10, and chapter 11. Some people think the church has replaced Israel. Jesus wrote this purposely so that we understand that God is not done with the nation of Israel and the church has not replaced Israel. I just read the statement of a Bible study from this apostolic faith church, and they say that you have to work really hard for your salvation to be a part of the 144,000. Sounds like Jehovah's Witness doctrine, actually. And I read it, and I saw the scriptures that they laid out, and it's totally, totally unscriptural. And I thought to myself, I says, these poor guys, either they've been totally taught wrong, or they're just flat out deceiving, and they're saying that there's only 144,000 that can go to heaven. That's so sad. When in reality, it says that this 144,000 are Jews on planet Earth preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If they would just read the book of Revelation, they would see the error of their teaching. And this is why we go through the entire Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, the whole Word of God, so we fully and completely understand it. Jesus has the key of David. He opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your work. See, I've set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept. Here's your key now. Think of Jeremiah. The Bible says back there in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9, behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. We don't want to be those people. It says here for this commendation of the Church of Philadelphia, he says, you have a little strength and have kept. We have kept the word of God. You've kept my word. This is why we study the Word of God. We go through the entire Bible and have not denied my name. Don't you love to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ? Amen. You see, you don't deny his name. You don't sit there and say, well, Jesus is one of many prophets, many gods. I guess all religions can be tied together. No, there's only one Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And proclaiming his name, you're going to proclaim he's the only way, he's the only truth, he's the only life, and the only way to heaven is through him. Amen? Amen. You see, this is keeping the word of God. This is not denying his name. This is the Church of Philadelphia. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you because you have kept my command to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Highlight verse 10. Verse 10 has just told you that we, the Church of Philadelphia, that keeps the word of God, that will not deny his name, that he will keep us from the hour of trial that will come upon the whole world. What is the hour of trial? It is the great tribulation period. In other words, we will be raptured up before the great tribulation period, just as Paul writes to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as well as 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He lays this out for us so we have a clear understanding that the church will not go through the tribulation period. Why would God want to put the bride of Christ through his wrath? That doesn't make sense. The Bible says we will not go through the wrath of God, but we would rather obtain salvation. Our salvation is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We'll be raptured out before the great tribulation period, where all these cataclysmic and catastrophic events and judgments will take place on planet Earth. God doesn't want the bride of Christ to go through that. He will take us up. He has promised it right here. And then it says, behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And then he says, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. This is the false church that will go into the tribulation period. This false church is with us right now today. This false church is not dependent upon the word of God. They're dependent upon pleasing the culture. To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus approaches this last day's church and he says, look it, I am the Amen. I am the final authority. You need to come to the final authority, which is me and my word. He also refers to himself as the faithful and the true witness. His witness is all the way to the very end. He is always faithful. He's always true. He is the one and only faithful and true witness. Thirdly, the beginning of the creation of God. Do not believe in evolution. I created all things. I designed all things. You did not evolve from monkeys. I created you. Because he knows that the last day church will fall for the great lie of the evolutionary theory, which denies the book of Genesis, which denies the word of God, which means they will not keep the word of God. He then says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. See, in the world, they're rich. In the world, they're wealthy, but they're not rich and wealthy in God, in Christ, spiritually. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now listen. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Where is Jesus with this church? He's been kicked out. He's outside knocking. He's not in the church. He's been kicked out because the church has all of its programs, its mechanisms, and everything. They don't need Jesus. They just need to market themselves. They need motivational speakers. They need their own little teachings of covetousness and so forth to lead people how to get rich in this world. Whereas God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you, meaning the things of the heart and the soul will be added unto you, the riches of Christ. And see, this is where the great tragedy comes upon this church of Laodicea. They depend on all the worldly ways, not upon the things of the Spirit. And Jesus has been booted out of the church. You know, this Shaq book and Shaq movie? Garbage. You know, they sold 22 million of these books. It's all New Age stuff. It misrepresents God. It's foolishness. I always am amazed how people are attracted to all these auxiliary books that talk about God but are totally unbiblical. And they get attracted to all this stuff. And it shows us that people are not in the Word of God. Lukewarm. Come on now. We have to be the Church of Philadelphia. We keep the Word of God. When we see a book like this, we recognize it. This is a false teaching. This man needs to repent of his writings. Even though it's a fictional book, it misrepresents God totally and fully. I don't know if he's a Christian or not. I've got no clue. But I'm telling you what, he leads people away from God instead of to God. And this is wrong. He's created a false trinity, a false idea of God. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Seducing doctrines of demons. They interject a thought into a good man, and he writes his story. There's nothing better than Satan loves to pick good men to interject a seducing doctrine that is false. And people say, well, he's a good guy. What's wrong with him? It's not the message of Christ. It's not the message of the Bible. And it gives people false concepts and ideas about God. This is the great problem. Back to Jeremiah. So we find here in Jeremiah chapter 8, he says, behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord in verse 9. And then it says in verse 10, therefore I will give their wives to others and their fields to those who will inherit them, because from the least even to the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness. Covetousness. Wanting all the things of the world. That's their whole goal. Instead of people praying that God would change their heart and their life to be like Jesus, Lord, I want this and I want that. I want the other. I want the riches of this world. I want the possessions, the materialism of this world. It's okay to be successful, but you be careful that your prosperity doesn't possess you. Be a steward with what God gives you and live for Him. But your prayer should not always be about monetary or materialism. It should be about changing of heart and life and being used to preach the gospel to reach lost souls. To be used to make disciples, you see. He says here, everyone is given to covetousness, from the prophet even to the priest. It's in the amongst the religious leaders. They actually have teachings, doctrines. See, this is, again, I share with you once again, this is the health and wealth teachers. The prophet, the priest, they're given over to covetousness. The Copelands, the Hagans, the Fred Price, the doctrine that they created, the Marilyn Hickeys, the doctrines that they've created, that Creflo Dollar, it's all infiltrated into the church. And there are doctrines of covetousness. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to have all these things. Speak to your wallet and all this stuff. It is bogus. Send your seed money to us and then God will multiply and all these things. No, don't send your money to them. Keep your money. Okay? I'm just trying to help you out. They are trained, the Bible says, in covetousness. Turn with me quickly to 2 Peter chapter 2. Watch. This is New Testament stuff. It's happening in the Old Testament here with Jeremiah amongst the children of Israel. Look at the New Testament. Peter says it's going to happen amongst us in the church. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Watch what he says. It's like Pete and repeat. Oh, speaking of Peter, amen. Chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, the church, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many, it doesn't say a few people, it says, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By what? What's it say? Verse 3. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels that who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood of the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for the righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. So he goes on, he talks about the sinfulness of the people that is really going to come into the church. And he says they will exploit you with covetousness. And this is why I preach what I preach in regards to these false prophets and false teachers that are in the church today. The gospel message is never about money. The gospel message is about character. The change of your heart to be sanctified by God through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the key. Go back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 8, we also read, he says, everyone is given to covetousness. In verse 10, from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. Verse 11, for they have healed for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. In the time of their punishment, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Today you have churches who say homosexuality is okay. You can live however you want. Just love each other. It's okay. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say it's okay. You have churches with homosexuals as pastors, lesbians as pastors. Is that what the Bible says? It's considered one of our sins, just like adultery, just like fornication of the heterosexuals. You cannot change the Word of God. You cannot change the character of God. You cannot change the holiness of God. And I say this for their salvation, because they've been deceived by the devil himself and by the flesh and by the world, the Bible declares. And the truth of God's word, they have to receive it and repent of their sins and get right with God, whether it's a heterosexual or a homosexual. And if I didn't preach the word of God in its fullness and its truth, then I'm a liar. Then I'm a deceiver. And so we go through the entire Word of God to protect me and you. That's why. Because the devil, the flesh, and this world can deceive all of us like that. We must be careful, my friends. He then says this. It's an abomination. I will surely consume them, says the Lord. No grapes shall be, verse 13, no grapes shall be on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things I have given them shall pass away from them. In other words, you guys are going to lose everything, man. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter the fortified cities, and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God has put us to silence, and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. So Jeremiah is declaring this. Guys, we need to repent. We need to get right. Come on, turn to the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, and there was trouble. The snorting, the snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones. For they have come and devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those who dwell in it. For behold, I will send serpents among you, vipers which cannot be charmed, and they will bite you, says the Lord. I would comfort myself in sorrow. My heart is faint in me. Now, Jeremiah talks about himself as God is ministering to him, he's ministering to them. This is his personal, where he's at. He says, I would comfort myself in sorrow. My heart is faint in me. Listen, the voice, the cry of the daughter of my people. From a far country, is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their carved images and foreign gods? It goes back to God saying, look it, they have provoked me to anger. They're carved images. They worship these statues. They have eyes that cannot see and ears that cannot hear, mouths that cannot speak, and yet they pay homage to these foreign images, these idols. They bring food. They place food in front of them for good luck. They take little statues like a cat. They put it in their business. You know, the little cat, you know, in so many Hawaii businesses, like that cat's going to bring you that little pottery thing that's painted is going to bring you good fortune. Really? It's not going to bring you anything, man. You just spent money on this silly little cat. Okay. And then you have other kind of statues in their businesses, foreign gods to place faith in these idols. He says, stop it already. He says then, I will surely consume them, verse 13, and the grapes. Then go down to verse 14. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves and let us enter the fortified cities. Let us be silent there. For the Lord our God has put us to silence. Oh, wait. Where am I? I think I went backed up too far. 19. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I would comfort myself in sorrow. My heart is faint in me. Listen, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people. From a far country, is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their carved images, with foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. That's powerful. Everything, you should be saved. I've blessed you. I've provided for you. I conquered your enemies. I did all these things for you in the land of promise. And now you have rejected me. Now you've walked away from me. Now you won't even go to my word any longer. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? So he's laying it out for them. He wants them to repent. He's calling them, but they won't listen. It's like the word of God. You can talk to people about the word of God, and they just won't listen. Oh, you know what? I don't want to hear that. But keep working on it, my friends. Keep working on it. Keep sharing with them. Keep teaching them. Keep reaching out to them. Don't ever give up, because all of a sudden, as you pray for them, their eyes will be opened, and they'll turn and come to Christ. Chapter 9, who is the wise man who understands? Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night. This is Jeremiah speaking of himself. For the slain of the daughter of my people, oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for travelers, that I might leave my people and go from them. And for they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. They are not valiant for the truth on the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, says the Lord. Everyone take heed to his neighbor, and do not trust any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanderers. Everyone will deceive his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Your dwelling place is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me, says the Lord. There will be many deceivers, Jesus says, in the last days. Many deceivers, deceiving many. We next find verse 7. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and try them. For how shall I deal with the daughter of my people? Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaks deceit. One speaks peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lies in wait. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? I will take up a weeping and a wailing for the mountains and for the dwelling places of the wilderness, a lamentation because they are burned up, so that no one can pass through, nor can men hear the voice of the cattle. Both the birds of the heavens and the beasts have fled. They are gone. I will make Jerusalem a heap of ruins, a den of jackals. I will make the cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. Who is the wise man who may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken, that he may declare it? Why does the land perish and burn up like a wilderness, so that no one can pass through? And the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I have set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it, but they have walked according to the dictates of their own hearts, and after the Baals, which their fathers taught them, after the false gods. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, this people, with wormwood and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the Gentiles, whom neither they nor their fathers have known. And I will send a sword after them until I have consumed them. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider and call for the mourning women, and that they may come, and send for the skillful wailing women, that they may come. Let them make haste and take up wailing for us, that our eyes may run with tears and our eyelids gush with water. For voice of wailing is heard from Zion. How we are plundered. We are greatly ashamed because we have forsaken the land, because we have been cast out of our dwellings. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth. Teach your daughters wailing and everyone her neighbor a lamentation, for death has come through our windows, has entered our palaces to kill off the children, no longer to be outside, and the young men no longer on the streets. Speak, thus says the Lord, even the carcasses of men shall fall as refuse on the open field, like cuttings after the harvester, and no one shall gather them. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. So we ask ourselves this question. What do I glory in? He says, for you and I, let him glory in understanding and knowing God. Thus we study who God is and what he does in people's lives. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Jesus says we are to be his disciple, a learner of him, to understand him and his ways. See, this is the calling of all Christians. This is what we have to do, each and every one of us, to learn and to grow and to be like Jesus Christ. This is the calling. Now, we don't condemn ourselves if we're falling short, but we want to pick up, change, repent, get right, study, grow, and be blessed. Amen? So we find verse 25, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will punish all who are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Not only will I punish the Jewish people, as well as the uncircumcised, the Gentiles, Egypt, Judah, Edom, and the people of Ammon, Moab. He says, I will punish the circumcised with the uncircumcised. And he lists these nations that will come against them. Egypt, Judah, Edom, and people of Ammon, Moab, and all who are in the farthest corners who dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. Circumcision meant a cutting away of the flesh, the fleshly sins of life. And the children of Israel would have circumcised hearts, that they would not live for the flesh, but rather they live for the Spirit to follow God. But he says, you have uncircumcised hearts. You're totally given over to the flesh in your heart. Chapter 10, the Lord is the true God. Hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Can I say, O United States of America? Hear, listen. Return to God. Return to Jesus Christ. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed of the signs of heaven. For the Gentiles are dismayed at them. For the customs of the peoples are futile. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple. They are upright like a palm tree, and they cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot go by themselves. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, nor can they do any good. Now, this passage of Scripture, some people have tried to pull us out of context and say, see, it's the Christmas tree. They cut down the tree, and you bring it in, and you put a base on it, you nail it, and it stands up in your home, and you put gold and silver on it. It's the paganism of the Christmas tree. No. Can I ask you guys something? When Christmas is over, what do you do with the tree? You throw it away. If you're embracing it as an idol of worship, you're surely not going to throw it away. You see? They embraced it as they would carve, they would take the tree, cut it down, they would carve out the image they wanted to worship, and it would become fastened to a base. They cut the wood, and they carved it, they made it, they fashioned it, whatever that god they wanted, and it would be a statue. And thus they would, then when they would go someplace, they'd pick it up and take it with them. It could be a little one, it could be a big one, whatever. But there isn't one person, I haven't met any of you guys here that said, "Oh, Daryl, I still have my tree up and I bow before it every day with the gold and the silver that's on it, you know, and all this." It's a celebration of Christmas. For me, the tree represents the cross of Christ as he went to the cross for our sins. The greatest gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ has come. We exchange gifts, not in worshiping Saturnalia. We exchange gifts because we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we want to reach out and love one another with a gift, as Christ has loved us. As God loved us, he gave his son, the little babe in the manger, who grew up to be our Savior. And we give him to one another on Christmas. We give the gifts representing love for one another. But there's nothing to do with us worshiping Saturnalia or a Christmas tree or anything like that. Now be careful of mistletoe. Okay, everyone words. Verse 6. Inasmuch as there is none like you, O Lord, you are great, and your name is great in might. Why would not who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your rightful due. For among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are altogether dull-hearted and foolish. A wooden idol is a worthless doctrine. You see? They fashion it into a wooden idol, and it's a worthless doctrine. Silver is beaten into plates. It is brought from Tarshish and gold from Uphaz. The work of the craftsmen and of the hands of the metalsmith, blue and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skillful men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth will tremble, and the nations will not be able to endure his indignation. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 16. During the tribulation period, there's going to be great wrath, and the nations will not be able to endure the indignation. And I'm just giving you a tidbit. I mean, we can go through much of the book of Revelation, chapter 6 through 19, but I'll just read to you something out of chapter 16. It says the following. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth." So the first went out and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. So if anybody takes the mark of the beast, they're going to get a foul and loathsome sore in time. God will bring judgment upon them. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due." And I heard another from the altar saying, "Even so, Lord," excuse me, "Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give him glory. All these judgments, but because they hate God so much, they will not turn from their sinful ways. They will not repent. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates. Its water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, the unholy trinity. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and to the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them. They gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Yes, the Valley of Megiddo, the great battle of Armageddon will take place at the end of the tribulation period. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there was noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. Such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. How great is this earthquake? In all the history of humanity, there's never been an earthquake as strong as this earthquake that will take place. What does it say? Now the great city was divided into three parts, Jerusalem, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away with this great earthquake. Aloha. This is why we must preach the gospel message to all the people on these islands. Because in the tribulation period, Hawaii may be no more. Gone. The islands fled away. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. The great mountain ranges were leveled. No more Sierra Nevadas. Gone. The mountain ranges were leveled. Something is going to happen so tremendously on planet Earth that mountain ranges will be leveled and islands will vanish. The greatest earthquake ever known to humankind. He then says, and great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent, about 120 pounds. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. Do you want to be here during the great tribulation period? I don't think so. Get saved and go for God. Amen? Let's wrap up our chapter 10. We're almost done. So we find the indignation of God, verse 10, but the Lord is the true God of chapter 10 of Jeremiah. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth will tremble and the nations will not be able to endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and has stretched out the heavens at his discretion. When he utters his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and he brings the wind out of his treasuries. Everyone is dull-hearted, without knowledge. Every metalsmith is put to shame by an image, for his molded image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are futile, a work of errors. In the time of their punishment, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the maker of all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Gather up your wares from the land, O inhabitant of the fortress. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will throw out this time the inhabitants of the land and will distress them that they may find it so. Now we have a prayer of the prophet Jeremiah. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is severe, but I say truly, this is an infirmity, and I must bear it. My tent is plundered, and all my cords are broken. My children have gone from me, and they are no more. There is no one to pitch my tent anymore or to set up my curtains. For the shepherds have become dull-hearted and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Behold, the noise of the report has come, and a great commotion out of the north country, speaking of Babylon, is coming to make the cities of Judah desolate, a den of jackals. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man who walks to direct his own steps. O Lord, correct me, but with justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. Pour out your fury on the Gentiles who do not know you, and on the families who do not call on your name. For they have eaten up Jacob, devoured him, and consumed him. Jacob, Israel, and have devoured him, consumed him, and made his dwelling place desolate. You notice it says here, pour out your fury on the Gentiles. We are told in the Gospels that the time of the Gentiles will be fulfilled on planet Earth. Then comes the great tribulation period upon them. Remember, the Antichrist will lead the entire world in this false system of worship of him as God. The temple will be rebuilt. He'll go into the temple and he'll commit the abomination of desolation. He'll set up an image of the temple and the whole world will worship him as God. And the Jews at that moment in time will recognize he's not our Messiah. He's not our Savior. He is an enemy of God and of the Jewish people. And that's where God says, get out of town. The abomination of desolation, it will make the town desolate. Get out, run for your lives. And God will take those Jews to Petra, probably, and he will protect them over there. This is what the scripture declares. Now, one last thing. Go with me to John 10. John 10 is where we end. John 10. He talked about the shepherds, the false shepherds and so forth. They are dull. They will not listen and so forth. Jesus is our shepherd. Amen? Go to John 10. I love our shepherd. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, that the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. He will die for the Jews and us Gentiles. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Jesus is our good shepherd, and he's come to give us life and life more abundantly. But watch out. There's hirelings and false shepherds out there who've come to rob, to kill, and to steal. And the only way I know to follow the shepherd is to feed from his hand the word of God. We feed, we're protected, we're provided for, and we're blessed. Let's stand and pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for your grace and your tender mercies. We thank you for the warnings that you give us as your people, as your church, to beware of false prophets, false teachers, false Christs. Stay away from false religions. Stay away from false teachings. Stay away from covetousness. Stay away from the sinfulness of our world. And follow the Good Shepherd. Follow you according to your word. Be the Church of Philadelphia. Keep the word of God. Don't deny the name of Jesus Christ. Preach the word. Reach the lost. Minister to their hearts. The love of Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight, you've never given your heart to Christ, you'd like to get saved, I'd like to encourage you to raise your hand as a sign of faith to God, not to me, but to God. If you need to get saved tonight, raise your hand. Anybody here? If you die without Christ, you go to hell. You die with Christ, you go to heaven. Simple as that. Anybody here need to get saved? Raise your hand. Father, anoint our hearts and our lives. May your love abound. May your grace abound. May your life abound. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, woo, we made it. 8 through 10, we made it. All right, God bless you guys. Hang in there. Jeremiah, a poor guy, 55 years, not one convert. Known as the weeping prophet of God. Go for God, love one another. One last time. God bless.